Now, it is Reek Sunday tomorrow, when up to an astonishing 30,000 people are expected to climb Croagh-Patrick over in Mayo. And since the pandemic, there has been what can only be described as an explosion of interest in outdoor recreation. In Sweden, people have the right of public access to roam in just about anywhere in the countryside, as long as they don't disturb or destroy. But while we don't have anything similar here, we do have a very wide range of publicly funded schemes that have opened up walking trails across the country, up and down mountains. And it seems there is an insatiable appetite amongst the public for them. But how do we make sure our presence doesn't ruin the land and nature or the farming life in the fields? And how do landowners and farmers ensure that those who don't own land can still encounter nature and all the positive benefits that can bring? We are going to chat about that for the next 10 minutes or so. So from different parts of the country, I am joined this morning by, in Westport, Maura Kiley, CEO of Leave No Trace. From Glencree in Wicklow, by sheep farmer Michael Keegan. And from his farm between Newport and Mulranny in Mayo, by farmer Tony O'Donnell. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Maura, starting with you, I think Croagh-Patrick is a really interesting example of how the good and the bad. Obviously, back in the 1980s, I mean, it was nearly mined for gold, and then it became a tourist gold mine itself. It began to crumble away because so many people went up and down it. And then stakeholders came together in 2015. The path was repaired, it was rebuilt, and it's been a real success story, hasn't it, in terms of responsible walking trails and how we can make sure that our impacts aren't too great.
Absolutely. Croagh-Patrick really is a case study for just what can be achieved, even though, as you say, it was it was in a very difficult situation in terms of the access and the safety of the mountain was at risk of being closed at one point. So, look, it's incredible what has been achieved in a short space of time when the community and the stakeholders are supported, resources are put in place and they work together to restore the natural environment. And just walking up that mountain last week, I am so inspired by the new trail, which is like a piece of art. Mm. And it's not just about sustaining the natural environment, but to me, it's about our natural heritage as well, that they have done an incredible job at, making sure that we have that for future generations.
And tomorrow, your organisation is hosting an event called Love This Place. You're encouraging people to get out and about, as they have done in their droves, especially since the pandemic. But you're also encouraging them to have respect. And I just wonder if you can talk a little bit about the key issues. I mean, I suppose we're talking about the usuals here, controlling dogs. Don't leave litter. Stick to the path. Don't feed the wildlife like deer, for example.
Yeah, so National Love This Place Day is part of our Leave No Trace campaign that is running until the end of August. And it's being supported by many of the partners in outdoor recreation. And it's all about promoting responsible enjoyment of our natural heritage in outdoor spaces. And in recent years, we've been working to make sure it's established in the calendar as an annual call out to inspire individuals, communities and organisations to take simple action. So we have events taking place all over Ireland. And, this year we've got three key calls to action. So we're asking people to stick to the path, making sure you're avoiding damaging habitats or disturbing farm animals. We're asking people to be responsible dog owner, keep your dog on a leash, and also to keep Ireland litter free. Make sure you bring your litter and your waste home and dispose of it responsibly.
Michael, just coming to you up in Glencree, I've been to your farm. It is utterly spectacular. And for anyone living in Dublin, you go there and you think it's like a sort of film set. It's just beautiful. Did you notice a surge in visitors just after the pandemic?
Hi, Ella. Yeah, thanks. We did. Yeah, there's definitely been an increase in people using the uplands since the pandemic there. And I suppose with a growing amount of people using it, you're going to have a few people in that aren't responsible. Most people, to be fair, are pretty good, but you're always going to get an odd one that brings dogs out, lets them off the lead, throws rubbish around, or sometimes you'll get groups of people camping, leaving big piles of rubbish after them, you know, fires, lighting fires, all of the above.
And I suppose, as you say, it's important to say that most people are fine and behave well, but those that don't, they leave a kind of outsized impact on you.
They do, yeah. And it doesn't take very many bad experiences for landowners to just clamp down and say, look, that's it, we're not having, because like, why should we have to put up with bad behaviour? Like, after all, a farm, it isn't just your workplace, it's your home. And, you know, there's a part, you know, it's your home, but I mean, as a workplace, even there's dangerous things happening on farms. Sometimes you don't want people just roaming around the place.
And Tony, over in Burrishall, you're involved in the walk scheme between Newport and Mulranny. What Michael says there, does that ring true for you?
It does. It's very important, I suppose, that in the relation, say, to commonage, and people often think, you know, the commonage is just free for all, but it's jointly owned by a group of people. And, you know, when you enter there, you have to show respect to the people that own that land. And also maybe a bit of background to the scheme that we're involved in. It's going on since 2008. It's administered through the Rural Community Development, and it's administered there in Newport by Martin Delane and his team in Southwest Mayo Development. And we sign up 5-year contracts that keeps us involved, gets us out there on 1 month a year in the section that we'd be on to go and, you know, to check that the route is properly maintained and also that it's clear of rubbish. And also while you'll be out there, you'll also meet people that'll be walking and you'll have conversations with them and you'll be able to, you know, give them a bit of the history of the area, but also to let them enjoy what's there. We are also getting paid as well.
You are. You've had it on your farm for 15 years. Is it fair to say, in general, it's been a positive experience for you?
It has been hugely positive because not alone it has brought people into the area and it's good for the local businesses, but it also, when you're out there, and some farmers don't meet a lot of people, they have meet up with people that have a different story to tell. It's good for their mental health. And I suppose it's just getting people out into rural Ireland.
Maura, I just wonder, listening to that, whether we might need to come up with some sort of countryside code of conduct. I mean, I'm just thinking, we have an overwhelmingly urban population and increasingly so. How do they learn about how to be in the countryside? You know, it's not the case where it would have been years ago where, you know, your auntie, your uncle or whatever had a farm in the Midlands and the West and you sort of grew up with it. Now, I mean, the majority of Ireland is privately owned. So how do you instill the idea in people that there's a certain way to be in the countryside?
I think this is really, really important. And it's something that we're working on at the moment through the work of Corlin Natua. And just addressing that, you know, the huge surge of people now going outside, particularly 98% of people now doing some sort of outdoor activity, with 55% of people doing new activities than they did before COVID. The outdoors has moved from niche to mainstream, and many of these people are new visitors. So absolutely, we would support that and are increasingly working with the farming community, the councils, the state agencies, to work at ways that can allow access to our natural environment in ways that respect it and respect the rights of landowners. And from our perspective, fundamental to that is, you know, that farmers and landowners are supported by investment that allows them to establish that access in a way that's managed, so that anyone crossing their land, you know, is aware of their responsibilities. And that's what we're trying to do with Love This Place Day and the National Love This Place campaign. But also what's really, really important is our educational systems and making sure that this whole ethos around stewardship in the outdoors is part of our core curriculum. And we're seeing a huge increase in that now in terms of more and more schools, be it early years, are engaging in outdoor forest schools now. We're seeing it in primary schools. We're working with Picker Pals, who are in 60% of schools, to get the message of love this place out there now. So I think, you know, this cultural context of Ireland, particularly if, you know, if you compare it to Sweden, where, you know, they have had you know, this fruitslift, which is called open air life in Swedish translation. You know, that's been an integral part of their life for centuries, where they've been enjoying nature and outdoors, you know, as part of their upbringing. But
I suppose it works both ways, doesn't it? And with, as I mentioned in the start, in Sweden, they do have, and it's impossible to have this discussion without mentioning the idea of right to access. I was interested last year, Fintan O'Toole wrote a piece about land access and the right to roam. He used Kropatrick as an example that because it is private property, in principle, it could be stopped and the path could be blocked, even though an awful lot of public money has been poured into it. And obviously that's not going to happen. And in fairness to the farmers over there, they've been incredibly collaborative in how they've done things. But as Fintan said, as things stand, we will end up investing billions of euro in projects that depend on nothing more stable than an individual goodwill of property owners. So there is a kind of to and fro of that issue, isn't there, Maura?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, more than ever, it's really important that everybody is working together and on that same page. And we're seeing, you know, as you say, really positive examples of that happening across the country. And we want to continue this dialogue and partnership with the farming interests to develop more workable solutions to benefit everyone. But more importantly, to protect those property owners' rights to the natural environment and make sure that, you know, people can enjoy access to the outdoors.
And just briefly, Tony, a countryside code of conduct, does that sound like a good idea for you?
Yes, I think that would be good to consult with all the stakeholders. You know, I suppose with farming, from their side, they're concerned about their livestock. They're also concerned about fencing, maybe, and the way people park. But also, I suppose everybody has to buy into it as well, and that they feel that they're getting some product there, you know, that they're getting a public good. They're looking at this, and like in the North Shore, Clubay here, we have 12 trails there. It's something that's going to increase the amount of jobs in our area as well, as people use it. But the code of conduct, I suppose it has to be properly explained to farmers and also to the users.
Okay, well, listen, farmer Tony O'Donnell in Mayo and Michael Keegan in Wicklow, thank you both very much. Moira, very briefly, just to mention, you're doing a swim to Clare Island in early August to raise money for Westport Autism Friendly Town Group, I gather.
Yeah, so I am chair of the local group, and 2.5 years ago, my son was diagnosed with autism, and I have had an incredible journey with him by bringing him into the sea. And in terms of the benefits of the outdoors, not just for myself, but for my son, in terms of to sensory stimulation, you know, it's been transformative.
And the swim is sorry to interrupt you, but the swim is in early August. And just briefly, Maura, for people who want to donate, where do they go?
Oh yeah, you can visit Facebook, Westport Autism Friendly Town Facebook and Instagram pages.
So unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. Best of luck with the swim. Thank you all so much for joining me this morning. Moira Kiley, Michael Keegan, Tony O'Donnell. 51551 on text, countrywide@rte.ie. We'll be back after this.